Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Deborah Becker. Imagine spending 13 hours a day on your feet inside a large textile mill. The air is thick with cotton fibers and the deafening noise of machines making cloth. You're paid $3 a week, and you live in a boarding house owned by the mill owners.
That was the reality for thousands of young women at the height of the Industrial Revolution in the United States. One of the centers of this was Lowell, Massachusetts.
Many women left their family farms in the 19th century to work at the mills in Lowell to save some money and earn some independence.
Now, a new novel uses the history of the Lowell mill girls and the true story of the murder of one of them, which prompted a big debate throughout the country.
The book, The Daring Ladies of Lowell, mixes some of this history with fiction into a compelling story about life in the mills, the coming push for workers' rights, women's rights, religion, class in the 19th century, and murder. Patricia O'Brien, who published the book under the pseudonym Kate Alcott, joins us now from WAMU in Washington, D.C. Hi, Patricia. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Deb. Great to be with you.
Well, I just cited quite a few themes there. What sparked the idea for this novel?
Well, you know, people ask me when I write historical fiction, how do I choose a particular era to write about? And I guess the only answer is you just sort of stroll through history until something grabs your mind. And then for me, hearing about the mill girls, that was also grabbing my heart. I thought about these young women and what they did and how they searched for better lives at a time when it was really very rare for women to be able to do anything else than be on the farms. We were such basically still a rural country. And these women came to Lowell, and I think the first thing that I began reading about were the stories they wrote in a magazine they published called The Lowell Offering. And it struck me, when you hear the voices of a particular time and you actually hear them speaking for themselves, they come alive. Well, and these young women really did.
What do you think that told you about what life was like then for them, and what was happening in terms of the economy and how critical these mills were for the economy?
Well, you know, we were very much still rural, as I said, and it's probably due to one incredible person, Francis Cabot Lowell, who went to England and pulled off one of the biggest corporate heists of, certainly of history, I think. He went through all of the fabric mills in England, and they let him see their secret procedures, and he memorized everything. He could not make notes. He wrote it all down when he got on the ship to come back. And when he got here, he started this revolutionary new business. He was able to build these mills. It changed the economy of the United States. It made us far more of an industrial nation than we had been. And so much was changing. And they had this brilliant idea, as you, I believe you've already said, of building boarding houses so that to get the cheap labor that the farms could give them young women coming from the farms, they also had to give them respectability. Mm-hmm. And I think that when I had that sense of the historic background and this time of major change, and I was reading their voices through what they wrote, both their complaints and their literary aspirations. They ran the gamut. They were all very different.
Now, for these young women who lived in these boarding houses, I mean, it's my understanding they also, to be able to live there and have the jobs in the mills, they had to behave a certain way. They had to go to church. They had to make sure that they quelled any controversy about women moving to the cities and working, and that they were living these upright lives. And in your book, you talk about the murder of a mill girl, allegedly at the hands of a Methodist minister. And some of her behavior was questionable, and she was trying to buck the system of what was an acceptable way for a young woman to behave at that time. But the murder was an actual true story of a mill girl by a Methodist minister. What was going on at that particular time in terms of Methodists and in terms of how the criminal justice system handled something like that?
Well, it was a very uneasy time in terms of religions. The evangelist movement had taken hold, and you were coming off of a very Calvinistic history in this country. And the Methodists were somewhat uneasy about the evangelists, who built up very major emotional groups. And they would hold these tent meetings, and it was a very uneasy time for religion. Mm-hmm. And the industrialists, of course, were trying to get themselves flourishing and moving forward. And when Sarah Cornell was killed, this was her real name. In my novel, I call her Lovey. She was found hanged. She had been seeing, and all the evidence showed that this minister, this evangelical minister, had been the person who had taken her life. Now, when the trial took place, he was accused and he was put on trial. The religious elements of New England were basically lined up against the industrial interests of New England. So it made for probably the first really major high emotion trial, one of the very first, of our country's history.
Hmm. And what about, if we go back to the women for a moment, why do you think that these women, what was it about them that they were able to organize for somewhat better working conditions? As you mentioned, this was a time when really no workers, let alone women, had a voice. What was it, do you think, that gave them the ability to be able to do that?
Well, that's part of what I wanted to explore in a novel. You know, writing historical fiction, you know the facts, but you have to fill in with your imagination so many of the details that we can never know for sure. And my feeling was, looking at these women as they flowed into the boarding houses of New England, that many of them were intellectually thirsty, and they began attending these lectures, the Lyceum lectures. And a number of people, famous writers, politicians, would come and talk to them because they had an eager audience. These girls, many of them, wanted to learn. They had aspirations beyond their $3 a week. And actually, the history of these early girls, if you start tracking it, they would move on from the mills. Some of them joined the westward migration. And others became teachers, others married. They were very much an example of what women can do if they set out to do it and trust in themselves. These girls, when they realized the working conditions they had to live under, tried to protest. It was very hard. In the early 1830s, they had what they called turnouts. It was, of course, the origin, sort of the early birthing of the labor movement in America.
Hmm. You know,
the industrialists, of course, became too greedy.
We have just about a minute left, and I'm just wondering, I just want a quick question that I want to get in there. You actually published this book under the pseudonym Kate Alcott.
That's right.
And this is the second time that you've done that. You also, your previous book, The Dressmaker, also under Kate Alcott, and that was rejected 13 times under your real name, but once you changed your name, it sold in 3 days. What do you think
about that?
I
laugh every time I think about it. And the reason, of course, was my last book, which I published in 2008, which was a terrible year for everybody. Mm. It didn't sell very well. So my agent said there was nothing wrong with the book. Put it out under another name and we'll find a buyer. Sure did. And it's done very, very well.
All right. Patricia O'Brien, author of the book, The Daring Ladies of Lowell, using the pseudonym Kate Alcott. Patricia, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
And that's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR in Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Deborah Becker. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.